May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1087. Was it for sin, for mortal guilt, the Saviour gave his vital blood? For sin amazing anguish felt, the wrath of an offended God. Hymn 1087.
From the Holy Word of God, let us read two portions of Scripture. First, in the book of Ecclesiastes, part of chapter 8 and part of chapter 9. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, and we'll begin reading at verse 8, and we'll read to the third verse of chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. All this have I seen, and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. And they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men, unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again there be wicked men, to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. Then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. For that shall abide with him of his labour the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. When I applied mine heart to know wisdom, and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labour to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. Now let us turn to read Psalm 86. Psalm 86. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast holpen me, and comforted me. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy, sacred and gracious word, and help us now to pray. O thou most holy, almighty and eternal Lord God, thou Lord that art most gracious and long-suffering, O do be mindful of each one of us here, Lord, gathered together in thy name this night. And come and be present in our midst. O Lord, we pray thou wilt fit each one of us to approach unto thy throne of grace. For Lord, we have no fitness of our own. We are filthy and defiled throughout by sin. And yet, Lord, we venture to plead the precious name of Jesus, pleading that sin-atoning blood, those sufferings of which we have sung this night. O Lord, do look upon us through thy beloved Son, and may we be accepted in the beloved. Lord, who put within us a real spirit of prayer, that we may ask in Jesus' name, to his honour, to his glory, And in accordance with thy will and thy purpose. O Lord, do keep us from carnal prayers, which only ask for our own earthly good and comfort. Lord, we pray, that thou mayest be exalted in our own hearts, sinful that they are, and in the hearts of many others. May thy word, Lord, go forth in this sin-cursed world to have free course and be glorified. Lord, how we need it to be so in this evil day in which thou hast appointed us to live. But we would thank thee, Lord, we still have the privileges we enjoy now, our freedom to worship, thy holy word in our own tongue, and Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. So, Lord, do not let our gathering together this night be in vain. But, Lord, take possession of thy word. Prepare our hearts to receive it. And then speak it. In power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. O Lord, do not send any of us empty away tonight. May something abide with us. Something, Lord, to dwell in our heart. Something to help us, Lord, in the days through which we are yet to live. Something to prepare us for eternal life. Lord, there's that solemn day and time before us each, and we know not how long. As we get older, Lord, it only draws nearer. Perhaps some here tonight, Lord, knowing that he cannot now be long. Lord, we commend each soul to thee that cries unto thee for mercy. And Lord, we pray thou wilt answer those cries. Do grant by thy Spirit the assurance of faith that it is well with their soul. O Lord, may it be that word upon which thou hast caused one to hope, be renewed. Renewed in power to the strengthening and blessing of that soul. And Lord, may each one know that thou art yet mindful and present with them. Lord, we pray for each one that have passed through very busy scenes of life today, the duties, the responsibilities, the businesses, the many cares, the concerns. Oh Lord, there are so many things to take up our time, our attention, to fill our hearts and fill our minds. We pray for the forgiveness of every sin that we have committed throughout this day in thoughts and in words and in deeds. Forgive us, gracious God, forgive us. And Lord, now as we are met together before thy holy word and before thee, oh, remove them from our thoughts. Do not let the things, Lord, of our daily duties disturb our religious hours and moments. Let not Satan stir us up within to hide thee from our sight. But we pray, Lord, for faith, the view of faith of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, for sinner slain. And O Lord, give each one of us a sweet view of a suffering Saviour, that we may know it was for me that he hung and suffered there. O Lord, if thou wouldst so own and bless this time, this night, then this spot, this ground, Lord, will be a sacred place. He blessed me there. Lord, thou hast blessings to impart. Grace to save from the fears. Oh, the love that fills his heart, sinner, wipe away thy tears. Oh, Lord, draw us to thee. Be our all and in all, and then add to us all that we have need of in these earthly lives. Remember, Lord, the children, the young people, Lord, the growing generations. We commend them to thee. The little ones, Lord, before school. Keep them in thy care, keep them in health and strength. May they grow in stature, in wisdom, their faculties, Lord, develop. And help, Lord, each parent in guiding and bring them up from those infant days. Lord, do give them all needed patience and perseverance. And hear their prayers. Give them all needed help. And the children, Lord, at school, keep them unto thyself, Lord. Deliver them from all evil. Oh, they are taught so many things that are contrary to thy word, as if they are right and they are encouraged, Lord, to be involved in them. Oh, Lord, even at a young age, give them this discerning spirit between what is right and what is wrong. And help, Lord, the teaching of the parents to them, and also the work of the Sunday school, and of the teachers there, and that which they hear, Lord, spoken, and that which they become able to read for themselves. Lord, use it that they are kept to thy word, to thy house, to thy people, kept and drawn to thyself. Oh, do bless the young children, Lord. May they each one be a lamb of thy fold. And remember the young people, Lord, growing into adulthood, oh, through the many changing scenes of life. New responsibilities, having to stand alone, making many decisions. Lord, do guide them. Put within them thy tender fear. For it is written, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. And the young women also, Lord, guide them in the same way. Lord, lead them into right careers, right education, right occupations, right locations, right friendships and relationships. Lord, the marriage bond, the giving, the bringing up of children. Oh Lord, lead them forth in the midst of all those things. May they view thee as a precious Redeemer, a Saviour of sinners. And Lord, from amongst the rising generations, may there be many whom thou doth wrought upon, Lord, to testify of the grace they have found. Point to thy redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God. And so may there be a continuation of thy visible church here and elsewhere, as the days are yet to come, as thou dost spare this sinful her. Members of the churches, mothers in Israel, deacons, ministers, pastors. O Lord, how we need thee to answer these prayers. Lord, the church is in the desert now. O Lord, we mourn what seems to be the withdrawing of thy spirit. O Lord, wilt thou not return to us again and turn us to thee? Hear the many prayers, Lord, that are put up, even during the course of these days. Do not turn away thy face. Ours is an urgent, pressing case. Lord, who come and save us from the power and the hand of the enemy, the power of evil that rises up, Lord, to affect us and disturb us, to tempt us and annoy us. And Lord, we find the weakness of our own flesh in our hearts, so willing to compromise and turn away. And oh Lord, help us to be more fervent in prayer and steadfast in faith, looking unto thee, Lord, to strengthen us, that we may boldly declare, Lord, that which is the truth, and give witness to it in our daily lives. It may be said, Lord, of many that they have been with Jesus. And, O Lord, do so, of course, the privileges we enjoy this day to prevail. Overturn the desire of those that are even in our Parliament, who would love to overturn the practice and witness of the Christian faith. Lord, bring their desires to naught. And Lord, we would not pray against them. For thy word says to pray for those that have thee a rule over us. Lord, we pray for them that thou wilt teach them the truth. Thou wilt deliver them from the ignorance of their nature's darkness and of sin. And bring them, Lord, to where they cry for mercy. And seek to rule our land once more in the fear of God. Ruling, Lord, using thy word as the basis of all the legislation of our land. So, Lord, come again. Hear us, for thou alone canst do these things. Lord, is anything too hard for thee? We pray, Lord, for those who have many troubles and trials in life. Lord, some here have passed through and are still passing through times of troubles and difficulties. And Lord, through sicknesses and sore afflictions. But, O Lord, hast thou not heard and answered prayer? Hast thou not maintained and kept to this day? O Lord, thou that hast helped hitherto, wilt thou not help all the journey through? O Lord, continue to bless the means that we have surrounding us upon this earth for the healing of the body and the comfort of the mind. But above all, Lord, apply thy precious blood for the comfort of the soul. So may our lives be sanctified, Lord, by Thee. And, O Lord, may all adown to Thine honour and to Thy glory. Hear us now, Lord, in heaven, Thy dwelling place. And when Thou hearest, do forgive. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus and for His sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 1043. Deal gently with thy servant, Lord, and if the rod should needful be, thy seasonable aid afford, my soul in trouble flies to thee. Hymn 1043.
in complete dependence upon our God, that he himself may speak through his own word to each one of us here tonight. I'd ask your prayerful attention to the Psalm 86, of which we read, and verse 11 by way of a text. The 11th verse of Psalm 86. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. The 11th verse of the 86th Psalm. A Psalm of David. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. This prayer of David, recorded in this psalm, is a pattern of prayer that each of us should take heed to. It is a humble prayer. Whether we are younger or whether we are older, it's a prayer to be kept in the ways of God. The way of God, for there only is one way. That is the way of truth. The truth as it is in Jesus. And David desired to be taught and to be kept in that way of which he desired to walk out in the days of his life upon this earth. Because to such as are led and are kept, taught this way, they lead to everlasting life. And dear friends, there's been no change since David's day until now. There was no change from the very beginning to David's day. And there'll be no change from today to the end of time. The way of the Lord, the way of truth. Our hearts united unto it. Now, dear friends, if we're to know this way, we're going to have to receive much wisdom. A wisdom that we do not possess in our earthly nature. Our own hearts, deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. They will teach us that we know many things, even religious things. And they will teach us that we know the way to God. They will teach us a way of self-righteousness and legal goodness. They will not tell us there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof is death. How many of us lay to heart our latter end? For those who lay to heart their latter end, for we shall all have a latter end. It's appointed unto men once to die. Those who consider that thing will consider their steps in this life. and will desire to be prepared for those last moments when our breath ceases from our bodies and our spirit returns to God who gave it. David's prayer was, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I do commend this prayer to you all. The Lord, give us the wisdom to know our need of it. Dear friends, we have to pray for wisdom. James records that, doesn't he? To those that lack wisdom, let them ask of God, who giveth liberally. They shall receive it. Dear friends, those who ask for wisdom are those who feel the need of it. David did. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. His son Solomon knew what it was to need wisdom. And he prayed for it, didn't he? When he was made king, he said he was as a child. He knew not know how to go out and come in. How could he lead so great a people that the Lord had given to all Israel? How could he rule in the place and stead of his father David? Dear friends, it was the Lord who called him to prayer. The Lord met with him when he went in the custom and practice, as it were, to the altar to worship God. It was there the Lord appeared, ask what I shall give. Dear friends, we even have to ask for that, don't we? The Lord give us the spirit of prayer. Oh, how poor and needy we are in our earthly nature. Under the influence of the Spirit of God, Solomon was humble. He confessed his lack of wisdom. He pleaded for all needed help. He didn't ask for the great riches of the world, as many kings long for and seek after. He asked for an understanding heart. And the Lord gave it to him. I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart. And there was no one, the Lord said, would be like him, had been like him, or would be like him, of Adam's race. And what was the effect of that wisdom that was given unto Solomon? Well, it enabled him to discern between good and evil and all the matters that was brought before him, to judge righteous judgment amongst the people in the daily things of life. Dear friends, it also brought him into another effect. He testifies at the end of the first chapter of the book Ecclesiastes, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Dear friends, that's perhaps not our perception of being wise. But with the wisdom he received of God, there attended with it grief and sorrow. And why was that? Because the wisdom given to Solomon caused him to view all things under the sun. And there was nothing that man could do under the sun to deliver him from the hour of death. Whether a man be righteous, whether a man be evil, there is one event that happeneth to all. And he saw that even as we would judge the most righteous, they were sinners. There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And we also read, didn't we, there's no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. That's the Spirit of life that is in us from our womb, the Spirit of man that is within us, that gives us life and breath to walk our daily lives. We've got no power over it to retain it when that day comes, the day of our death. Neither is there any discharge in that war. Neither shall the wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Those who strive to the utmost wickedness to maintain their life upon this earth, whether it's in riches or murder or whatever they may seek to do. One's time is in the Lord's hand. Our breath is in his hand. And it's appointed unto men once to die. And after that the judgment. And there's nothing that man could do to deliver himself from that judgment. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, friends, Solomon even went as far as this, didn't he? Then I commended mirth. Because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. For that shall abide with him of his labour the days of his life which God hath given him under the sun. All we can do for ourselves under the sun is for the temporal good of our own bodies. And that's the gift of God. As he said, it's another place to eat, drink, to enjoy the good of all your labour. It is the gift of God. Oh, we have to labour because of sin. The judgment to Adam to eat bread by the flesh, by the sweat of his face. But the Lord has provided the means wherein man labours. Let us not forget that. He yet supplies all that we have need of. Therefore we to give thanks in all things, but they're only for the good of our bodies. Nothing of an earthly nature can prosper our souls, and they shall return to God, and there will be the judgment, and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, dear friends, what hope is there in yourself? What hope is there in myself? Do these things make you tremble at the word of God? Dear friends, our hearts by nature will keep us. Passive, shall I say, in a sleepy condition. And to trust in our own selves that we are righteous. Through that which we do, our moral uprightness. All the things which we do and we should do. But dear friends, they're only for the comfort of the flesh, aren't they? They're for good of one another in the flesh. The kindness is one to another in the flesh. Nothing we do to another can deliver their soul, and nothing we do can deliver our soul. Oh, wretched man that I am, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Dear friends, that's you tonight and it's me. And there's no exception. But what a mercy. The Lord has placed a distinction between sinners and sinners. We read in this 8th chapter of Ecclesiastes this distinction in verses 12 and 13. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Dear friends, there's a distinction between a sinner that fears God and a sinner that fears not God. The sinner that fears not God is called the wicked. And there's no peace to the wicked. They may have all the glory of good things in this life. But Asaph was shown the end of the wicked, wasn't he? And how dreadful that is. A casting out into that lake of burning fire, where God's mercy can never come. Not one of the mercies they've enjoyed in this life at the hand of God to supply their daily needs. There it will only be weeping, wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now friends, there's many today who deny that such a place as hell. And those who deny such a place, they say Jesus Christ was a deceiver and a liar because he spoke of it. Oh, how solemn. Dear friends, are you amongst the wicked? The definition of the wicked is God is not in all their thoughts. Where have your thoughts been today? Where have my thoughts been today? They've been taken up with so many things we've had to deal with in this earthly life, haven't they? Our business, school, home. Perhaps troubles, matters we've had to deal with, handle, things have come against us. In how many of them has God been in the midst of them? Does this make you tremble? Dear friends, I hope it is so. That when we look at the holy word of God and see these distinctions, that it causes us to tremble at the word of God. Lest we shall be counted amongst those that have no hope in God. We are counted amongst those which are the wicked. It's a sweet word, isn't it? To this man will I look. To him that is poor, of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Because they see within themselves all their many failings. Oh, how far short they've come of that glory of God. How many crimes they've committed against the holy God. How many transgressions they've committed against the holy law of God. And the more they try to mend their ways, all the sin seems to unravel more and more within them. Oh, the wickedness of one's heart. Dear friends, what a sweet word this is. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged and he sins more and more and more, he cannot help it in the flesh. And we shall do that, dear friends, to the end of our days. Therefore we shall grieve to the end of our days if we're one of these sinners that fear God. Yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. Why is Solomon so sure? Because that knowledge and that wisdom given unto them of the power of sin and the effect of it within. Dear friends, that's of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, he teaches of sin. He teaches of righteousness. And he teaches of judgment. That's why Solomon said in much wisdom, there is grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Dear friend, do you know what it is to increase the knowledge of your sin? It increaseth sorrow, doesn't it? And it seems to get worse as you get older. You don't seem to get any better. You don't get better at all. You get worse. Well, dear friends, that's the teaching of the Spirit. You won't see it as a mark of grace, maybe, but it's a mark of grace. Because he that hath begun a good work in you, he will perform it to the day of Christ Jesus. He won't leave you to sink in that sin, because he's put within you his Spirit and the fear of the Lord, the fear of the consequence of that sin. Oh, the sinner fears lest his name should be left out when he for them shall call. And dear friends, as they see what a guilty sinner they are, they perceive they've got no righteousness at all. Oh, they've perhaps got many good works, as we count good works, many obediences perhaps in the outward form to the word of God. Much attendance upon the house of God. Maybe even preaching the word of God. But none of that constitutes to any goodness acceptable in the sight of God. For we are all through sin as an unclean thing. And our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The Spirit teaching our righteousnesses cannot be depended upon at all. Nothing. I am poor and needy, says David. And to such there's the judgment. To all there's a judgment. And how can one stand before the judgment seat of God, clothed in one's filthy rags? One cannot stand. Where we read of those who were there and they called over the rocks and the hills to cover them, as if that would be a mercy to hide them from the wrath of God. Dear friends, there's the trembling. There's the fear of God. The fear of his wrath. But dear friends, the Spirit of God doesn't leave that sinner there. Because that sinner cries for mercy. That sinner cries out. That there may be yet deliverance from that death, solemn death, that second death, which they deserve. And dear friends, that Spirit implying parts a measure of faith. Oh, what a precious grace is faith. And that faith views a righteousness that's in Christ, the only righteousness. It views Christ who hath borne the sins of many, who hath carried them on Calvary's cross, as if he was the sinner. And there the wrath of God was poured out upon him, his only begotten Son, his dearly beloved Son, that he should pay the price of redemption. You dear friends, where the price of redemption was paid under the law, nothing could hinder the setting at liberty of those who were bound. Nothing could hinder those from taking again their possessions. Nothing could hinder them from returning to their own land. All was done. All was settled. The law was satisfied. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And where there's the remission of sins, there's a glorious righteousness. A righteousness in the eyes of God as he looks upon the travail of the soul of his Son. And he's satisfied. A perfect work. And that sinner desires that perfect work. And he cries for mercy. David didn't he? In that prayer which we read, again, more than once, he cries for mercy. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Dear friends, when you're under the exercise of the sense of sin, you won't be so mattered about your daily bread and your daily drink and your clothes and what colour they are and that sort of thing. Be merciful unto me, O God. Because by faith there's a viewing of that precious Christ. That when the judgment comes, those that are in him are judged in him. And in him there is no condemnation. Oh dear friends, what a precious word that is. To be judged in Christ. Those that are his. Those for whom he died. Those for whom he's called to cry for mercy unto him. And those who come unto me, says Jesus, I will in no wise cast out. Dear friends, this is the way. This is the way of truth. This is way whereby sinners are delivered from the power of sin, and by which sinners can approach unto God. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. And dear friends, the answer to that prayer, as the sinner looks by faith to a precious Christ, there's a fountain open for sin and unclean. And the sinner plunged in that precious blood lose all their guilty stains. And there's joy and rejoicing of heart at the mercy they have found. The love of God shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost. Dear friends, these aren't things that are unreal and just theory and just fables. These are things which are known in the heart of every sinner saved by grace. Oh, what a prayer is this. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. The desire's there. To walk in that truth, the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ the Lord. Dear friends, when that known, that love of God is shed abroad in the heart, that puts away at that moment all the fear. The fear of condemnation. Oh, that love in the heart is drawn up unto him. There's joy and rejoicing. There's that good hope through grace. There's that everlasting consolation. There's the sweet assurance of hope. There's the sweet assurance of faith. And one then could go to glory immediately. Leave all the things here below. For the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Oh, may the Lord hear and answer your prayers. If you're such a praying soul tonight. Oh, I pray the Lord you are. Teach me thy way. Oh, Lord. I will walk in thy truth. But is that the end of the fear of the Lord? No. The fear of the Lord is something, dear friends, which will abide with such a soul and you, if you're such a soul, all the days of your life. Why should there be a fear of the Lord now? Because of love. Because of love. You take, in a natural sense, your own loved ones. Your wife, your husband, your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, your aunts, your grandparents, whoever it may be, those whom you love for the truth's sake. You fear to do anything to hurt them. You fear their frown. You fear their displeasure. You fear their turning away of their face. You fear their silence, their non-communication with you. You fear that you may grieve them, upset them. And you fear they may turn away from you altogether. Dear friend, so is the tender spirit. The tender fear of the Lord through love implanted in the heart and soul of a sinner saved by grace. He fears to do that which is grievous to God. Haven't you just sung it? That verse 3 of 10:43. But much I fear, lest in some hour of sore temptation I may fall, and yielding to the tempter's power, faithless may prove, and give up all. Oh, you fear you're going to be tempted even to leave this one you love. Drawn aside because of the weakness of your flesh, the weakness of your heart. You've still got that old man of sin inside you, haven't you? You've still got that earthly nature. You've still got that heart deceitful of all things within you and desperately wicked. Now you've got a conflict. Now you know what it is to have a divided heart, a heart of flesh. It means of the flesh, and a heart which is of the Spirit of God. There's a sore striving every day. Satan will do his utmost, using that which is of your earthly character and your earthly heart and your lust of your flesh and the desires of your life and your pride and your self-will. And oh, he'll stir it all up as much as he can. He has a sieve. A sieve is a shaking worker, and he'll try to shake you. And he'll use the circumstances of your life to do it. To stir up unbelief, to bring up doubt and fears that which the Lord has begun in you was all the imagination of your heart. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you. Dear friends, this makes a child of God fear. Fear lest he should fall and grieve the Spirit of God, where the Lord can only count him as an outcast. Not fit for eternal life. Daily a sinner. So we have David's prayer here. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Unite my heart. What united to your earthly nature? No. Unite it unto himself. Keep it there. Close to himself. Never let it go. Oh, dear friends, if the Lord didn't keep us close unto himself, we'd soon fall, wouldn't we? Fall 1,000 times a day. Fall into sin and be lost forever. Oh, but though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. Dear friends, this fear of the Lord keeps you to the throne of grace, doesn't it? It brings you there with that tender heart and that tender spirit. Ever, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And what do you find at the throne of grace? Mercy. There to obtain mercy again for that sin. Oh, shall we sin at porch? Creature of this earth, sin against God. And the Lord blot out that prayer of humble confession and true godly repentance. No, we will never do that. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Dear friends, have you sinned today? Has it been a great sin? Have you denied your Lord? Peter did, didn't he? He was in Satan's sin. Oh, but the Lord's mercy to him, a chosen vessel of mercy, was far greater than all of his sin. It abounded. That blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. And dear friends, one that fears God will ever desire to be found there at that throne of grace, the footstool of mercy. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, that glorious mercy seat. The Lord says, there will I commune with thee above the mercy seat. The mercy seat was approached not without blood. Oh, we come pleading the precious blood of Jesus. And dear friends, those who come unto him in such a way as that, I don't believe they'll ever be sent empty away. All their emptiness will be that their sin has gone. It's been pardoned. It's been blotted out. It will be remembered no more. He giveth more grace. Oh, what a gospel. What a mercy, what grace there is in Jesus Christ. Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Dear friends, David is in effect preaching what was to come, the precious prayer of Jesus. Father, that they may be one, even as we are one. Through faith, that precious grace of the Holy Spirit, kept through faith, by the power of God, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in that last day. One of the hymns we sing, 952, has this verse, unite our hearts to thee, dear Lamb. Vouchsafe to join us all in one, to love and praise thy gracious name, until we meet around thy throne. Dear friends, this is the foundation of the Church of Christ, isn't it? The sure foundation. The foundation that is in Christ alone. And that tender fear in the heart of an unworthy sinner, lest he should ever come short and fall outside of it. But dear friends, the scripture has wonderful promises to those that fear God. To those who know the answer to this prayer, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Psalm 103 has some of them. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Dear friends, all the promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. For as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. What me, an unworthy sinner that I am, and still a sinner day by day. Oh, the depth, the immense depth and height and breadth of this love that has removed that sin. Oh, he sees that the travail of the soul of his dear Son is satisfied. Thou art all fair, my love, there's no spot in thee. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Why does he pity them? For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He knoweth our frame. Dear friends, this Lord Jesus knows you and me through and through, doesn't he? He was made like unto his brethren, made flesh and blood, tempted in all points such as we are, yet he without sin. But, O tempted, that he may bear the sins where we failed on Calvary's cross to be our glorious high priest, by which we approach unto God. He remembereth that we are but dust. He knows our frame. And he knows one day we shall finish this earth. The man, his days are as grass, the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. One event happeneth to all. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Dear friends, here we have the eternal love and mercy of God. A mercy that endureth forever. He has known his people since before the world began, chosen in Christ Jesus, and they shall come. And we've spoke of that coming, that drawing, haven't we? The loving kindness is drawn you to his feet as a guilty sinner. And that mercy you find there, it endureth forever. And it's from everlasting. Oh, the mercy and that love. Dear friends, it's through that you'll endure. And it's through that you'll obtain eternal life. There is no other ground. There is no other remedy for sin. No other ground of salvation. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness, and his righteousness unto children's children. Oh, dear friends, there's hope there, isn't there? That it will continue on from generation to generation. Oh, we're to plead his word. We're to plead that these things will be known to the rising race and generation, our children and the children's children. But dear friends, there's also a word which we should not overlook. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Dear friends, those who fear God, they will desire to walk in accordance with the revealed will of God. Those who pray this prayer, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite mine heart to fear thy name. They will desire to walk in the way of God upon this earth, to his honour and to his glory. And dear friends, that doesn't mean to say you pick some and you deny others. One who has known this love of God, this redeeming love in their heart, dear friends, will desire to walk in the ways of God. The statutes, the precepts, the commandments. And don't forget the ordinances of the Lord Jesus Christ. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Oh, dear friends, there seems to be a neglecting today, doesn't there, of that? The outward profession. Not just among perhaps the younger generation, but the older generations especially. Oh, this, you hear some say, oh, I haven't had a special word. I need a word to walk in that way. Dear friends, take heed to Satan. Do you need a special word to keep the commandment, thou shalt not kill? Then why do you need a special word if the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart? To do his commandments, to do this. in remembrance of me. Dear friends, there's no righteousness in our doings now, but there's to be obedience. I think it's the very end of Solomon, isn't it, as he concludes his Ecclesiastes. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, we don't like the word duty, do we, when it's taken out of context and used in other applications. But, dear friends, there is an application. This is the whole duty of man. It's like when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. They were told the commandment of God. They were to fear God and keep his commandments. It became very solemn when they disobeyed it, didn't they? They were deceived to despise the commandment, and they fell into a great distress. Dear friends, do take heed to the word of God. Satan loves to keep those things which are to the honour and glory of God silent within the unprofessing heart. Oh, does that not grieve the Spirit? Is that not sin? And dear friends, may the Lord apply this word to us tonight. Search us out. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name, and I will glorify thee. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Rosier will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Woodhouse will preach next week on Friday evening, when a collection will be taken for the Trinitarian Bible Society. And to let you know that our dear friend Mr. Crowther has had an emergency operation to have one of his eyes removed. I spoke to him briefly last evening just to let you know he is recovering. He wished his love to be sent to all his friends here at Swavesey. May we be enabled to bear him before the throne of grace. Let us close with hymn 963. Blessed Spirit from above, teach, oh teach me how to pray. Fill my soul with heavenly love. Lead me the celestial way. Hymn 963.
Lord, do keep us in thy tender fear. For thy word declares that though a sinner sin 100 times and his days be prolonged, yea, to sin more and more, yet I know it shall be well with them that fear God. Lord, help us to walk out our daily lives in that fear. Thee being in all our thoughts, seeking to do that which is right in thy sight. And Lord, do bless us each with an abundance of thy peace, thy goodness to go before us, and we prove thee to be the God of all comfort and the Father of all mercies. Remember, Lord, our friend Mr. Crowther, who has been mentioned. Oh, remember him, Lord, at this time. Grant him a recovery, and may the eye that thou hast still granted to him be used, that he may read thy word again and again, and it be used to the good of his soul, and still use him, Lord, in the ministry of the gospel, to the good of many a soul. Lord, be with us now as we separate. Grant thy blessing upon thy dear people here. Oh, let none be a stranger to thy precious sin-atoning blood and the power of it. Give us each a good hope through grace. And may that grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us, now and even forevermore. Amen.